So I'd like to, we've reached a good place in our Lam Rim class. All right, there's just one little point from the Lam Rim class that I'd like to cover, which is not in the text. And then we'll go to the meditation song, okay? So we're going through, I think it's going to be a 14-year trip. We're in the fourth year. We're going through a text which presents all the steps to enlightenment from A to Z. And we were discussing faith in your teacher, first checking them out, then making a commitment to them, and then developing faith towards them. And he mentioned that the kind of faith, of the three kinds of faith, that we're seeking to develop is called Dangwe Depa. Dangwe Depa means you see something nice about somebody and you are attracted to it. It's close to admiration, okay? It's close to admiration. Then I thought you'd like to know the other two types of faith. It's not the subject at this time in the book, but I thought you'd like to know them. So here are the three kinds of faith. One is called Sangye Changshem Sotone Yi Tangwa Chepa Dan Tangwe Chepa Tangwe Depa. When you see very inspiring people, you get Tangwe Depa, which is called crystalline faith or something like that, crystal clear faith. And that just means that you admire someone and you aspire to their qualities, okay? Me personally, a lot of this is not just a teacher, but Dharma friends also. So, you know, I have Dharma friends who are very good at yoga and they inspire me. When I can't do a pose, I look over at Word and he's doing it and I'm like, oh, I can do that. If he can do it, I can do it, you know. And like that. And I have Dharma friends who eat well, which is really weird to me. And, you know, I watch them eating carrots and I'm like, I can do that, you know. Like that. Those are, you can admire Dharma friends. Instead of being jealous, right, you can, what do you call it, emulate them, try to act like them. So it's good to surround yourself with nice people, people who are good in their heart and good with what they do. I heard Nick talking about the Prison Project and it's, you know, and Jeff Eddy, I really admire them that they would take the time off and go down. I had a talk with his boss at his job and I think we talked them into giving him half a day off every 2 weeks. Then I tried to get it with pay, but that was a little more difficult. But he's doing something, I think. And I'd like to also thank Scott and Orit have offered their car. They're getting a new car, and they've offered their old car to the Prison Project. So, because we had a... Yeah. Because we have a problem that nobody's car can make it down to Tucson and back, you know, without breaking down. So it's a nice, dependable, uninspiring car. Okay. No, I think, okay. Then that was made possible because Christine Walsh is pretty much giving them her old car, so I'd like to thank Christine. And somewhere in the deal, I got some money from my Lama's car, so don't ask me. Okay. The second kind of faith is Le Ge Digla Langdor La Yi Chepe Yi Cheki Deba. So, Yi Chepa means you believe in something, it makes sense to you. So the first one is more like admiration, isn't it? Or feeling inspired by somebody. That's a kind of, in Tibetan they consider that a kind of faith. Dangwe Depa. The second one is where somebody explains to you what's good karma and what's bad karma, why you should do good karma, why you shouldn't do bad karma. And then you believe them, okay? It's more like belief, okay? It's not blind faith, but it's a kind of belief about things which we cannot see directly, okay? You cannot confirm directly that, you know, if you kill an animal that you will have poor health in the future, something like that, that if you eat animals you will, it will affect your health. I think now scientists are, what do you call it? They're saying cholesterol makes you more likely to have a heart attack or something. Basically, all food products are now suspect. Of all animal food products are suspect. And it's interesting. From a Buddhist point of view, it's interesting. But normally, you can't confirm that if you eat animal's flesh on a regular basis, that your health suffers. You see what I mean? The karma will make you less healthy, give you cancer or give you heart problems, okay? There seems to be a correlation, but nobody suddenly announced that they were gonna, you know, stop killing cows. They just said, eat less. Like, nobody made the mental leap in this country that, you know, maybe we should encourage our children not to eat things which have to be killed to eat them. So, how do we know those things? We have scriptures, we have teachers, we have a 2,500-year tradition, and we learn it, and it makes sense to us, and then we believe. And that's the second kind of faith, okay? So the first kind of faith is more admiration or feeling inspired, and the second kind of faith is more like belief in things that we cannot directly see. Because the person talking to us, we trust, okay? That's number two. Number three, debu koma topa dubingundu ki tepa. The third kind of depa is kind of like aspiration towards higher things. You know, I would like to become a truly happy and healthy person, and then I would like to help other people, and I would like to affect my city and my country, my family, and then I would like to affect the world at large, and then, you know, hopefully maybe more worlds than that. And that's called Ngunduki Depa. So Ngunduki Depa is a kind of faith which is directed at, what do you call that? It's like aspiration, okay? So all three of those in Tibetan are called Depa. It means aspiration, okay? So we have three. One is more like what? Inspiration. The second is more like belief. And the third one is aspiration. We would like to achieve something beautiful and holy for many people. Okay? Those are the three kind of faith. So I'm going to stop Lam Rim. We'll go to the meditation song for this afternoon and this evening. Because we've reached a good place in Lam Rim. We are done with 6 of the 10 classes that I had prepared for this session and the next session. So, strangely, we're ahead of schedule. So I have to look up more quotations and stuff. And we're going to switch over to the meditation song. Okay. I wanted to say something about the last verse we did yesterday, which was 55. Somebody have a copy I can wave around? Thank you. So those of you who weren't here yesterday, this is called the Meditation Song. It's a translation of a text that was written in the 1500s, something, no, later than that, by Pabangu Rinpoche's Lama, Dapo Lhundup. Dapo Lama Rinpoche Jambo Lhundup Gyatso. Then it's a very traditional practice to go through this and sing it or recite it before you do a meditation session. Most of us don't have time to do that before a meditation session. If we did that, we'd be late to work. So you can pick out parts every day before you meditate. Pick out a part, and there are classical sections, divisions, and we've included some photographs to try to give you the mood of the section of the meditation song that we're on at any given time. And we made it a spiral-bound copy, so when you meditate on the floor, you can put it down on your desk or on a piece of cloth, and you can look at it. It's like David Swenson's Ashtanga manual. That thing has sold 3 million copies or something because it has a spiral binding. And no, you can lay it on the floor and you can practice next to it, you see? You can lay it open. You don't have to stand there and hold it open. He's a good friend of mine, so I can make fun of it. But it's true. So we printed them twice, once last fall, and we gave away all the copies, and then we printed it in Guadalajara in Chinese, Spanish, and English, and gave it away to everybody there. And now we totally ran out of sponsors and money to give them away. So if you want one, I think they're for sale for how much? $25. Because they have a lot of color prints in them, which costs a lot of money. But if you'd rather look at it on your computer, on your laptop, or on your iPad, you can have the file for free. And Vicky has that file. Okay, so we're going to be going through this book this afternoon and this evening. And then tomorrow we will perform the meditation song together. All right? Cool. Thank you. So we're on verse 55. We did verse 55 yesterday. If you want to borrow a copy and follow, or you can just follow it on the projector. Okay. There's copies back there. I wanted to point out something I forgot to say yesterday. This verse 55 is a common grace in Tibet. Okay, you can use it before eating food or before drinking anything. Okay, it's a tradition in Buddhism to always offer anything you eat or drink, even if you just have a Starbucks coffee in the morning and you don't eat anything because there's nothing edible at Starbucks. You can offer the coffee to your Lama or to the Buddha with this verse. Okay, there are different standard graces in Tibetan, and it's good to know four or five of them. You should learn them, okay? And it's only the last line would change slightly, okay? Those of you who are learning Tibetan, you can learn this grace in Tibetan. It goes, Punzo gele chewe tumbe ku, your holy body was born from a billion perfect deeds. Taye doe rewa kongwe sung, your words fulfill the hopes of infinite living creatures. Malu sheja jishin si betuk, your mind perceives all things exactly as they are. And then if you're going to do the grace, you change the fourth line, okay? Those of you who care, you can write down the pronunciation at least. Shakye, say shakye, tsowo, dela, chirpa, pu. Shakye, tsowo, dela, chirpa, pu. Okay? So that's the traditional grace. The fourth line is different, okay? If you want to learn the grace. Shakya tso, shakya. A lot of people confuse shakya with sakya, okay? Shakya is a clan or a tribe of people who lived in India 2,500 years ago. And Lord Buddha, Gautama, when he was Siddhartha, he was the prince of the Shakyas, okay? So, and sakya means pale earth. And it's an area in south central Tibet where the ground is sort of pale, like chalky color. And the monastery there was called Pale Land, Sakya. And then a tradition, a lineage started there called the Sakyas. And it's one of the four great lineages of Tibet, not to be confused with the four great schools of ancient India. Okay, so but a lot of people confuse these two. Shakya means the tribe of which Lord Buddha, before he became Buddha, was a prince, when he was Siddhartha, okay? And then Shakya Tso means what? You know Lam Tso Nam Sum. Yeah, Tso Wo, as a referring to a person, means head or chief, okay? Shakya Tso Dela, to you, Chöpapu. I offered this Starbucks coffee that I'm about to drink, okay? Chöpa means offering, pu means I give or I present as an offering, okay? So if you would like to do a Buddhist grace before you eat or drink, which is a beautiful custom, it's a really beautiful custom, you can learn a few of the basic graces before eating. There are like five that are pretty standard. So you would change this last line in the English, you'd say, instead of saying, I bathe this divine form, you would say, I make this offering to you, Lord of the Shakya clan, or something like that, okay? I make this offering to you, Lord of the Shakya clan, okay? All right, Let's go to the next verse, 56. Oh, there's a baby there. That makes sense. I tried really hard to find one with a duck, but I couldn't. So he just has little boats. All right. There is enough Saddam rubber ducky. Probably he's a tantrika. Okay. okay. All right. I'm going to read. So we are in the middle of a section where you bathe your teacher. And as I said yesterday, it's nothing weird. It's not inappropriate. It's innocent. It's pure. It's nice. It's like Jesus washing his disciples' feet, okay? And it's just considered very graceful and beautiful practice. So we're going to go through and wash different groups of people. We're going to bathe different groups of people who belong to the lineage of the Lama Rim teachings, okay? And that's a long... There are many, many lamas in that lineage. There's a famous painting or poster of those lamas, and Nick has translated it, which was a lot of research, figuring out, you know, there's like 100 lamas on there, and to figure out who they are, when they lived. And then, you know, we were looking at it afterwards. It took like over a year, I think. And then we were looking at it, and we're saying, you know, it doesn't really help people a lot to say, this one was named Joe Smith, and this one was named John, you know, Brady, or whatever. Like, it's not so useful just to know all their names, because the names are foreign names anyway, and we can't remember them. So we thought we would add, for each lama, something cool that they said or did, and then you could have that with the poster. So you could more relate to each lama. You could say, oh, this is the lama who started this idea, or this is the lama who, you know, like the story of Milarepa and Rechumba and the horns, the yak horns. And so we're getting together little stories from the database. So we have a database of 500,000 pages. So we search for neat stories about those lamas. And he's going to perform one tomorrow, okay? I don't know exactly how or what. I think that's Aaron's problem or something. Okay. So here's verse 56. We're continuing bathing people in the lineage poster, from the lineage poster. Okay. Gyachen chepe gyula kutusu. Samotawe gyula kutusu. Nyamlen chenab gyula kutusu. Gyupe lama namla kutusu. Okay. So gyachen chepa means far-reaching deeds. Okay. Far-reaching deeds. It's a, what do you call it? Code word for the teachings on compassion. Okay, it's a code word for the teachings on compassion. So there's a whole lineage which descended from Maitreya, the future Buddha, down to us, down to you. There's, I don't know how many, maybe, I don't know, 80 lamas of the lineage, parampara in Sanskrit, the lineage. And it starts with Lord Maitreya. And so the whole side of the teachings that came down of bodhicitta about love or saving the world, these teachings started with Maitreya and came down to us, okay? They were pretty close to being lost, and then in this world, especially in India and Tibet, and then Atisha, Lord Atisha, took a boat trip to Indonesia, Jakarta, yeah, Sumatra, and saved. He met Lama Serlingma Suvarna Dvipa, and brought back the teachings. He recovered the teachings on bodhicitta or love and brought them back. So we are complete in this lineage about ways to have compassion, about different tricks for learning compassion. For example, exchanging myself with other people. Okay. Those instructions came down through that lineage, those lamas, okay? So gyu means lineage, okay? With the B-R-G-Y-U-D. It means lineage. And kutrusu means, ku means Holy word for body, holy body. True means to wash. And sul means I offer. Okay? I offer a bathing of your bodies. Okay? All the lineage lamas who brought compassion to us. And lineages get broken, okay? Traditions get broken and people forget and nobody passes it on. They sit in the class and they don't take notes. And then when it comes time to teach it to somebody, they don't have anything to teach. You understand? That's how you break a lineage. So for 2,500 years, the teachings we're talking about, the Lama Rim teachings, they have been passed down responsibly, correctly, accurately, carefully, in detail, from teacher to disciple. And now I'm discharging my duty, okay? I am passing it on to you. Now it's your problem. Okay? And then, you know, you have to have that frame of mind. You have to be taking, like, incredible... My teacher gets very angry. Geshe Thupten Rinchen gets very angry if you're in a class and your hand's not moving. If you're not taking notes, he gets very upset. You know, he might throw you out of the class. So just try to keep in mind that now the responsibility is descending to you to pass it on to the next generation. So you have to take good notes, okay? I can't do it twice. 14 years is enough. Okay. I bathe the holy bodies of the lamas of the lineage of the profound view. What's that? Emptiness. Okay, don't get mystical on me, okay? It just means when your husband or wife or partner yells at you, you're supposed to pause and say, this is coming to me because I yelled at somebody at work last week, or I got mad at somebody in traffic. So there is no partner in this house who's not coming from me, and that's emptiness. So don't get, like, mystical, okay? It's all to do with your partner. It's all to do with not getting upset at your partner. Are they irritating? Yes. Are they saying stupid things? Yes. Are they trouble? Yes. Should I yell at them? No, because then you have to see them again, like that, okay? If you stop yelling, they will change. Okay, got it? That's emptiness. That's all. Don't get all philosophical, okay? That's any emptiness which is divorced of a practical application is pretty meaningless to me. You know, you should be able to apply it in your life. If a teacher, a lama, cannot explain to you how to apply emptiness to your life, they're not explaining it correctly. It should immediately apply to your life, okay? All right. And if they don't talk about it at all, that's worse. Okay? It's better to screw up the whole presentation than not talk about it at all. Okay? You have to. It's the only way to get out of pain. Only if you understand that your partner is coming from you can you stop pain. Okay? So sooner or later, you have to talk about it. Okay. All right. Nyamlan Jinnab Gila Kutrusu. We're on the third line. I bathe the holy bodies of the lineage of Nyamlen means we had it the other day. I said, don't call it degenerate taking. Because together it has a totally different meaning. Nyamlen. Practical practice. Putting things into practice. Nyamlen means don't just talk about it, don't just meditate on it. Put it into actual practice. Okay? Do something. With your partner tonight, okay? Fix little problems with your partner tonight, okay? Start tonight. Start this afternoon. That's Nyamlen, okay? The rest is philosophy. Nyamlen means put it into your life, to your everyday life, okay? Nyamlen. But Nyamlen is also a code word for the secret teachings, okay? So we divide our lineage in this tradition, we divide our lineage into three. The teachers of emptiness, the teachers of compassion, and the teachers of the secret practices, okay? Tantra. That's a whole another lineage. That's a whole different lineage. Very extensive. There are five lineages. Those are the ones coming down the middle of the Lama poster, okay? The lineage poster. All right, and you should know about them, and here you're washing their bodies, okay? You're offering them a bath. Okay, bath. Okay, all right. Then we have the same mantra as we had before. This is a bathing mantra. Om Sarva Tathagata Abhishekata Samaya Sriya Hum. Okay, this is a mantra for bathing. Normally, this kind of mantra, when you say the mantra, it makes it happen where they live, even if you can't see it. Okay, so when you say Om Sarva Tathagata Abhishekata, they're like suddenly a bathtub appears and they jump in and they're like, ah, he's doing the mantra now. You know, thank God. Otherwise we just had to listen, you know. Now we got a bathtub and we got, what do you call it, Epsom salts and a rubber ducky to play. You know, this is cool. I like, you know, so if you don't say the mantra makes that thing appear in front of them, okay? Even though you can't see it, when you finish the mantra, they have this crystal, massive spa, and they are having a beautiful mineral water bath, you know. We had a Chinese gentleman beg me to teach him for 5 days, who's paying for the student center at Diamond Mountain, $1.1 million. So I said, okay. And he said, well, I'll arrange for a doctor to fly in from Beijing for you. He takes care of the Congress of China. I'll fly him in to, you know, I heard you had, you know, you need a doctor sometimes. I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. So he did that. And then he put me in a cottage above the hot springs in some, you know, exotic place in China. But I didn't have time to go down there. I just have to go downstairs and sit in the water, but I didn't have time. Anyway, it's like that. This big hot springs bathtub shows up in front of them when you do the mantra. So don't forget the mantra, okay? Probably if you mispronounce the mantra, the bathtub is full of Coke or something. Okay, so Scott says it's all right. Okay, all right, you gotta control that. Okay. All right. Okay, we're on to verse 57, 58. Namna kutrusu, namna kutrusu, namna kutrusu. Then here you bathe who? Konjosum. The three jewels. Okay, the three jewels. There's a teaching on the three jewels. If I have time someday, I'll teach you. The lower middle way school. It takes 12 years. Okay? And we never did it. But there's a teaching on the three jewels, which is very profound. And it redefines the three jewels. It says more accurately what the three jewels are. So, the Buddha, Dharma Sangha, right? This is very famous. If you take refuge in these three jewels, according to Buddhism, you are a Buddhist. This is confirmation, or what do you call that? When you get older, you do confirmation, yeah, and baptism. This is baptism and confirmation together in the Buddhist church, okay? If you take refuge in the three jewels correctly, you are a Buddhist. And then there's a joke in Buddhism that one day somebody was sitting in Sera and the abbot was sitting up there, and he nudged his friend. He could read people's minds. And he elbowed his friend and he said, "The abbot's not a Buddhist. The abbot of our monastery is not a Buddhist. Because he doesn't understand refuge. He didn't take refuge." Okay? Refuge always involves emptiness. Okay? Refuge means protection. Tomorrow you will hear, "Give me shelter." And you have to remember. We chose this song because it's about protection or refuge. Okay? So, what protects a Buddhist? It's not, we don't believe you can pray to Lord Buddha when you know, the doctor's trying to decide whether you have cancer. You can't say, "Please, you know, take away the cancer," or something like that. We don't believe that's a method. We believe that to get protection, you can't go to a statue of Buddha and ask for favors, you know? We don't believe that. You can keep a statue in your house, but don't go asking favors of the statue, okay? We don't believe it can do it. How do you protect yourself? For example, If you're about to create a bad karma by yelling at your partner because they yelled at you this afternoon, how do you protect yourself from that? Not yelling back, but you have to understand where it's coming from, right? The not yelling back has to be based in understanding where they came from. Yeah, understanding. Which means an understanding that, A, they are coming from seeds I planted last week by yelling at somebody, and B, there is no partner who lives in my apartment who's not coming from what I did myself last week. And that's emptiness. So that's what it means to take refuge in emptiness. Okay? And that makes you a Buddha. Sorry, Buddhist. Makes you a Buddha slowly also. Okay? So I have fun in the DCI courses because we teach, we taught in Jakarta, we taught Muslim country, we teach in communist countries, we teach in all kinds of countries. But if we, on a DCI program, can get the audience to understand not yelling at their partner, because that will make a bad partner next week, if we can get them to understand and act on that, they are taking refuge and they are by definition Buddhist. It doesn't matter what pictures they have in their house or what they do, okay, for a job or what kind of country it is. If they use emptiness not to hurt themselves, they are taking refuge and they are Buddhist, okay? So these are the three objects of refuge. Buddha, the person who used emptiness very well and got to be a Buddha, okay? And there's a Buddha in you, in a sense. The fact that you don't come from anything except your own seeds is your Buddha nature, okay? You already have some Buddha in you, okay? So you can take refuge in yourself in one way, okay? Dharma, what? Dharma is, the teachings, the books, the tape recordings, the videos, the Tibetan books, okay? But more deeply, it refers to the direct perception of emptiness, okay? When you take refuge in Dharma, you are taking refuge in the direct perception of emptiness. After you have the direct perception, it's much more difficult to get angry at your partner. Before you have the direct perception, you can forget, or you can slip, or you can have bad days, okay? And yell back, okay? Sangha? Yeah, people who understand this stuff, okay? The club. We should call it the club. The club of people who get it, okay? And in this room, it could be, you know, three people over here and six people over here, or, you know, the club is sprinkled around. People who don't yell at their partners because they understand, okay? Then once you reach that place, you join the club. And you are called Sangha, okay? Sangha. San is S-A-M. It came from S-A-M, Sam, which came into Latin as C-O-M, like committee or conference or like that, okay? In Greek, it came in as sin, S-Y-N, okay? And then gar, which means to come, sangha means to come together, came into Greek as gog. Synagogue is directly derived from sangha, okay, meaning a place where people gather. Okay, it comes from Sanskrit. It's a Greek word. Okay, kamne konja sumna kutusu. I bathe the three jewels. That gets a little tricky. Okay, I bathe. Buddhas is okay. Dharma, you're gonna bathe the books or? Okay, you gotta think about it. Probably you can bathe anyone who's having the direct perception of emptiness right now. That's okay. Just don't distract them. Okay. And then Sangha is all your friends. You can, at this point, you can bathe your Dharma friends. You know, you can say, oh, Rick, you know, here's a bath, you know. You want aftershave or not, you know. And like that, you can offer. If you feel shy, you can bathe their feet or something. You see what I mean? But at this point in the text, you can bathe your Dharma friends also. Okay. Om Sarva Tathagata Abhishekata Samaya Shihun. We repeat the mantra, and that makes it happen. That makes it really happen. Okay. She Tusu. In Tibetan, when you have a comment in the middle of a ritual, the type size is reduced by half. So you see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line is in half size. That means you're not supposed to recite that. It's a comment by the author. Shed Trisul means this concludes the bathing of the teachers and your Dharma friends. Okay. All right. Now we start a separate section, which you can see from the note at the bottom of the Tibetan, the last line of Tibetan on the page. Shepe kuchi, se kuchi. P-H-Y-I-S, right? You see it up there? Kuchi something? By the way, I did the pronunciation for you, so you can follow that. Kuchiyo, on third line from the bottom, page 45, right? Kuchiyo. So, ku means body. Chi means to wipe with a towel. Chi means to wipe. Okay, P-H-Y-I-S, chi, I wipe. Then there's an interesting cognate. Start dictionary entry. We're talking about the word chi, P-H. Here it's P-H-Y-I-S, ku chi, which means we've bathed the lamas and now we are wiping them with a towel. We're, what do you call it? Drying them off, okay? And the word chi means to wipe. And then there's a word, there's a word in Tibetan, there's a separate word for an attendant to a lama. So lamas, a lama whose work is going well needs attendants. They need people to help. They need people, they need staff to help them. And so in Tibet and in India, a very active lama would have maybe, I don't know, 2 to 10 attendants, and they would take care of their affairs. So like in my case, I have Venerable Jigme doing my finances, and Michael's taking care of my body and stuff like that. And then there's an interesting word in Tibetan for those kind of people who are keeping the lama going. It's called shapchi. Say shapchi. Shapchi. What's, do you know a shap?
Foot.
Yeah, shap is the honorific for leg or foot. By the way, Tibetan doesn't distinguish between leg and foot. Okay. And then, so what's a shapchi? Foot wiper, okay. It's not a very glorious name, but in Tibet it's considered a very beautiful position. It's considered an honor to be a shapchi, you know. And so they use the honorific. They say, oh, this is Ken Rinpoche's. I used to be introduced as Ken Rinpoche's shapchi, okay. Okay. There's another word. What is that? I was the Lord Chamberlain of Sarame. I forgot the word for it. Anyway, something like Dol. The Shapchi of the abbot becomes Lord Chamberlain of the monastery. So I think it's the first white guy ever to be Lord Chamberlain. I forget the word for it. Anyway, it just means you have to work more. Okay. Dedakula tsumba mepe ku tsangla tirap gupe kuchiyo. Dedakula, their bodies. Tsumba mepa means matchless. Ku means clothing usually, but here it means cloth. Okay, cloth thing, meaning a towel with a. I translated it as exquisite towel, most exquisite towel. I wiped it. Sangla, sang means clean, like, how do you say, not dirty, clean, okay. Start dictionary entry, sang, G-T-Z-A-N-G. Sang means clean as opposed to dirty, okay. So, dila, di tsang mayore means, kamba di tsang mayore means that this house is very clean, this room is very clean and tidy, okay. There's a ritual form of tsang which is called tsang da. And that's where it's almost like a surgical operation. And if you're working on a mandala or if you are making tormas for an important ritual, you are required to keep tsangda and ritual purity, ritual cleanliness. So, for example, you would wear a mask, like a bandit's mask over your mouth, and you would be required to wash your hands and clean your fingernails before you touch the offerings for a high ritual, and that's called sangha. That's called to keep ritual purity. So the attendants who make the tormas or for a fire offering, or anyone dealing with the materials for a fire offering, the substances which are to be offered, it's a tradition in our lineage that you should keep ritual purity, sangha. So you should wash your hands very well, and you shouldn't touch your feet, or you shouldn't touch dirty things while you're making the offerings. If you have to pick up a piece of lumber or something, then you have to wash your hands again and start over. You know, you don't have to redo the offerings you did before, but you have to wash your hands before you continue. Okay, and that's called sangha. And of course, in the teachings on sangha, they emphasize what? The real cleanliness is in your heart. Yeah, the real cleanliness is not the mask that you wear. It's that while you are preparing the offerings, like a torma or fire offering substances, you have to keep your heart very light and happy. And you can't think about people you don't like, or, you know, things people did to you or stuff like that. You have to keep, what do you call it? Inner cleanliness is more important than the tsangda, okay? And dictionary and training for tsang, G-T-Z-A-N-G. Kao tsanga tsang. Tsangla, this la means and, chi rap means very, very fragrant, okay? Gupe means I wipe or dry. Kuchio, I dry off their body with these exquisite towels which have a delicate fragrance to them, okay? And are very clean. Probably they are fluffy also. All right, and then there's a mantra for toweling a lama, okay? Let me do it again. Oh yeah, Om Hung Tam Shri, Akayo Vishuddhanaye Swaha. Okay, I'll say it again. Om Hung Tam Shri, Akaya Vishuddhanaye Swaha. Okay. Vishodhana means to clean. Okay, Shuddha means very clean. This chakra is called Vishuddha chakra because it's believed that the process of, what do you call that? What do you call it when you take food and you break it down into, when you break it down into, what's the word in English? It ends up as a very powerful liquid. The whole process of digestion, what's it called? Chyme, I think, maybe, I don't know. The process is that chunks of hamburger or McDonald's bun or french fries that are chewed in the mouth and start to go down the system, the breaking down system, all the intestines, the stomach. Then what you come up with at the end, the nutritional essence of the food, is like a teaspoon from a whole McDonald's dinner, probably less from McDonald's dinner. But, huh? Yeah, it's like, it means purify, or what do you call that? Huh? Yeah, reduction in the sense of French cooking. Reduce the, right, the gravy or something. Like, you start with a big bucket, and then at the end you have just a few teaspoons of nutritional essence, okay? So that process of processing the food from gross chewable stuff into a teaspoon of what can feed your cells starts at the throat. So this chakra is called Vishuddha, which means purifier, filter. Purifying filter starts here. Okay, so that here the mantra is Vishodhana, means I wash you clean, or I dry you clean, like that, okay? Vishodhana. Kaya means your body. Okay, good. And then the humtam he are I'll tell you later. I didn't look it up, but there's special meaning to the. Those are sacred syllables, but I should break them down for you. Okay, Om Tum Ramshi. All right, next one. Next page. And Let's do one more verse, and then we'll take a break. Okay. What time we have to stop? 5:30. Okay. We'll go for like another 5 minutes and then we'll take a break. Tongsom kundu chinge dangwa yi chi chao nam ki tuwa nam ki ku ser jang soma chi do che patar wo chak parwa de da chu par ki then shepe ku chuk ku chuk chuk means to apply oil, to smear. Chuk means to apply oil. B-Y-U-G, okay? Chuk. Not too common a word, chuk. It's not the chuk that means cow or rich. We had lungi chuk with one of the requirements of a lama, rich in teachings. This is third column, chuk, chuk, okay, chuk, to smear, okay, cosmetics or oil like that. So here we are applying oil to their bodies. What do they call that? Messiah means anointed with oil. Okay? It's the same. Tongsun. We had Tongsun. We just had Tongsun. Yeah, 1,000 worlds, 1,000 groups of 1,000, 1,000 groups of 1,000 groups of 1,000 planets each, inhabited planets. Tongsun, you had it. He translated it here as edges of the universe. Okay, that's okay. Tongsum kuntu, to the edges of the universe. Chi nge, this nge is a difficult word, okay? Ngada nge, N-G-A-D, okay? Start dictionary entry, very unusual word, N-G-A-D, okay? And it's dangerous because it sounds like a bunch of other words, okay? So chi here means fragrance. Nge, N-G-A-D, nge, unusual word. Means good fragrance. We don't have much any words in English. Good fragrance or fragrant smell. Its name means fragrant, okay? Very fragrant. But it can sound like the nge in Chang'e, which is spelled differently, which means fixed meaning. And it can sound like nge meaning by me, ngasangi. So you have to be careful when you hit this word. There are three words that sound the same. Nge, meaning fragrant. Nge, meaning by me. And then nge, meaning definite or fixed. Okay? So don't confuse those three. And dictionary entry. No one's ever going to use that one. Okay. Chinge dangwa. Dangwa means to. Dang means here to rise up. Okay? What's she dang? Anger, because you. You know, it comes up in your heart. So this dung means the fragrance is what do you call it? Wafting. Okay. Chi chok means the highest, best smell. Namgi, Chanel number 5. Namgi. Tubong namgi ku. To the Buddhas, to the bodies of the Buddhas, right? What's tubong in Sanskrit? King of the Quiet Ones, yes, Munendra. Muna, Indra, okay. Tupe ku, namki ku, serjang. Serjang means refined gold. This jang means refined. Put a nato on it and it becomes jong, okay? Jong, S-B-Y-O-N-G, jong, okay? What's it mean to refine your heart? In Tibetan. Lojong. Okay, so you know this word already. Lojong. This is the jong in lojong, okay? But here you're jonging ser. You're refining gold, okay? Ser jong, ser jong means refined gold. Refined the, past tense because there's an S on it. Okay, refined gold. Tsoma means also refined, okay? It means has been boiled. What do you call it? Melted and then refined. Chidor means to smear on the body. Okay, you know Langdor, I hope. Langdor? Langdor means what you should do and what you shouldn't do. I like the Christian confession that I grew up with. We have done those things which we ought not to have done, and we have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and there is no health in us. I like that. So lots of Langdor. Langdor means which we ought to have done. Dor means which we ought not to have done. So Langdor is very famous, okay? Here it's Chidor, means to kind of wipe oil on somebody. Chidor Tar. Oh, as if we were burnishing gold, as if we were polishing gold, okay? Wachak Barwa means... Wachak, this chak... Do we want to make a dictionary entry? I don't know. Okay, let's do chak. Dictionary entry, chak. C-H-A-G-S. Chagasa chak. Chak can mean, it's not the chak in prostration, by the way, which is spelled completely differently, although it's pronounced exactly the same. Chak can mean dechak. It can mean desire. Chak means to form, like the way mud forms into a brick or something like that. So chakpa means become. Ko yapo chagiore. He's getting to be a nice person. Okay, chak means to become. Ored can mean to be attached in the way that mud sticks to things. So the idea of being formed into an object or sticking is the same. Chak. Okay, so chak means can mean desire, sticky desire, stuck to something. Or it can mean stuff stuck together to form something, which means become. It means become, okay? But in the idiom, uchak, it means, how did I translate here? Perfect sheen, okay? A very bright sheen of light. So uchak means formed into light, which means shining or a sheen. And dictionary entry for chak, okay? Uchak barwa means burning, okay? Burning. Blazing in flame, barwa. Those of you who studied Tantra, there's a famous bar. That's a long story. Okay, barwa. Terachu bargi. I wipe their... what do you call with oil? I know, anoint, or I... What do you call it? You don't say I'm going to anoint you tonight. Yeah, you can say smear with oil, or when you put suntan lotion on somebody, what do you call it? I'll rub suntan lotion on you, or I'll smear, I'll put, anyway, okay, you figure it out. Chuk means to apply suntan lotion, or anything greasy is called chuk, okay, chuk. Okay, so it's nice, you have bathed them. And then you don't stop. You don't leave them wet at the side of the tub. You dry them off, you know. And the drying is a very beautiful process, okay? In the text, if you remember, we got a lecture on the proper way to dry a holy being, okay? And there are improper ways to dry a holy being. Like you don't... First of all, you pick a really nice soft towel. And not one of those ones that's been... wet and dried a few times and it got scaly or something? It got hard, right? So it has to be a nice fluffy towel, okay? And then you have to... I'm just teaching you, okay? In case it ever happens that you have to do it. You dry it like this, okay? You don't dry like this, okay? You pat them down. And there's a ritual, you know, you kind of... There's a mudra, you know, and then you pat them down. You don't go like this. They don't like that. Okay? And that's just a traditional way to dry an angel's body. Okay? If it ever happens, you know. If you jump off a bridge, they're all wet. They're all wet. You have to pat them down very gently. And you don't push too hard. And you don't rub. Okay? You don't, what do you call that? Scrape them with it. You pat them with it. These are very beautiful, very, It means a high state of mindfulness. It means a kind of meditation. It should become a kind of meditation. You're not like seeing how fast you... The point is not to get them dry. The point is to serve, you know, respectfully and gently. Okay. And then, of course, their skin will dry out if you don't apply some oil, some nice fragrant oil to them. Okay. And that's the customary. Okay. Then they're standing naked at the side of the tub. Then probably you have to, yeah, put something on, okay, give them some duds. All right, and we'll do that after the break. Okay, so they'll just have to wait. Okay, it's a very beautiful, very, very, very tender ritual. Okay, you should learn it. Okay. Okay, verse number 60, page number 47. It's time to dress them. They spent the whole break standing there with oil dripping off them. Sabjanyama saiga miche doji kunyela miche tepe dagbuna dakyang doji kutop shop. Sapa means, how do you say, silk is sapa. Thin? Sheer. Sheer. Sap means sheer. Jam you know because you know jamyang, manju. We're talking about duds. Clothes. Yeah, soft. Okay. Sheer and soft. Okay. I said gossamer soft. That's not bad. Sheer, like, very thin, like gossamer. Like a... Okay. Yeah. Sabja, yangwa means light as opposed to heavy. And of course, there's a lot of other yang, so you have to be careful. Right? Meaning also. Or but. So don't make a boo-boo. Yangwa. Chayika. Cha means, what? Deity, God. Okay. Ku means clothing. This is a poeticism from Sanskrit. Chayika is always silk. It always means silk. It's a synonym for silk. Okay. Raiment of the gods, clothes of the gods. Okay, it means silk. Now there's a cool expression here. Mi means not, right? Che means to split or to divide, and so it's not che, third column. It's second column, che. So, start dictionary entry. We're talking about the word mi che, which means not che. The che is spelled payata chadama cheda che. So not to be confused, P-H-Y-E-D should not be confused with B-Y-E-D, which means to do. And it's one of the most common verbs in any language. The most common verb is to be. Second most common verb is to do. So chepa, B-Y-E-D, means to do. This is not, but that's third column, which means voice, che, che, ba, che, ba. This is the second column, which is high tone aspirated, che, che. And because it ends in D or ta, the D drops out and the sound gets shortened, che, che, okay? So che means to cut or to divide. And then a noun was made out of it called D, B, Y, E, tao, pa, yate. Ya debu ye. Ye. Okay. What's yewa? A division of any categories. Okay. It's called yewa. So if you care, bayata cha, bayata ye. Okay. Tao bayata ye is related to che. Okay. They're both the same verb. Okay. To divide or to cut. So mi che can be said of Dorjes. Yeah. Unbreakable. Okay, unbreakable. Miche. So what's the Dorje here? Their ku. Yeah, their body is like a diamond which is indestructible. Okay. Unbreakable. Ku nye means they have attained that kind of a body. Nye la. And to that body, I will make offerings miche tepa. With miche tepa. Yeah, with adamantine faith, unbreakable faith. So it's a very famous parallelism in this poetry here. Miche doje, miche depa. Okay, very famous. The two miches here, okay. With unbreakable faith, I will clothe your unbreakable diamond body in silk. Okay, cool. Okay. Miche depa dagbulna, if I offer them, if I do that, na, okay, if I make this offering, dakyan means I also, may I attain top dorje ku, the diamond body. And then he uses the honorific, which you're not allowed to do about yourself. You're not allowed to say my holy body. But he did. Why? Because he'll be a Buddha when he gets a dorje ku. Then you can say my holy body. That's okay. Got it? Normally, you never use the honorific about yourself. Okay. Dorje ku. Che ku bul means ul. Ul is a form of bul. Okay, you got to get used to that. Okay. Ul. Ul. The last line in the Tibetan. Ul means offer. Make offer clothing. Okay. Next verse. Now that you've dressed your partner, you got to, especially if you're a man, give them some jewelry. All the women are looking at their men. Like, of course. Okay. Gyawa tsembe rangshin genden chir genshin dhaki genbar mi tseliang rinshin gencho purwe dhoa kun tsembe genbe kule topasho. How many gens in this verse? Tsembe genbe genden chir genshin Genbar mitsang, genchok, and genbeku, five, okay? Gen means ornament, okay? A piece of jewelry, all right? A jewel, in the sense of a piece of jewelry, okay? Gyawa tsenbe, tsen means, hi, peje gechu. Tsen, sumju sonyi, peje gechu. Tsenbe is an abbreviation for tsen, Sumju Sonyi, and the peche getchu. 32 tsens, 80 peche. The major and minor marks on the body of a Buddha, the physical body of a Buddha. So like they have wheels pressed, the flesh of their hand forms wheels, okay? They have longer ears. They have a bump on their head. They have a little hair here. They have wheels on their soles of their feet. There's 112 signs like that. So, the first line says, you already have jewelry. You lamas. Because you have the signs of an enlightened being. Therefore, Genshin Daki Genbar Mi Tsel. This cell is the cell in Chaktel. Yeah, Chaktel means to bow down, but the cell part means Chaktel. Okay, say Chaktel. You know, very famous Chaktel Lo. Chak means hand. Chak means hand, and sel means to seek. To seek. And it means to seek a boon from the hand of the teacher. So chak sel, the word for prostrate, means to seek a favor from the Lama. Okay? Meaning, please teach me compassion, please teach me emptiness. Chak sel, I seek something from your hands. Okay? Chak sel. So here it means, since you already have naturally formed jewelry on your body, you don't sell other kinds of jewelry. Huh? Yeah, you're not looking for any, you know, okay? You've got the signs of enlightened being. You're not looking for, like, a bracelet. Okay? You've got the ultimate jewelry, part of your, stuck on your body. You don't need these other kinds of jewelry. But, young, Rinchen Genchal Puwe Dowakun Tsembe Genbe Kulu Topa Shok. Then that's a very common formula in these offering texts, okay? You don't need anything from me. You have everything. But, what? If I offer it, what? I will get that jewelry. I'll get the same jewelry, like that. That's a very common formula in offering texts, okay? You don't need jewelry. You've got natural skin jewelry on you. But if I make offerings of, you know, like diamond earrings to you or a bracelet with rubies and diamonds, then I will get those natural formations on the body that marks you, that mark you as an enlightened being, okay? So Yang Rinchen Genchok Puwa, I will offer these supreme jewels, gemstone jewelry, and by that Puwe, because of that instrumental, Drowakun, may all beings Sempe Gembe Kulu Topashok, may they achieve the same body that you have with its natural jewelry on it. Okay. Chepe Genpu, so you should offer jewelry. So we bathe them. We dried them off, we greased them up, and we offered them, we dressed them, and then we put some pearls on or something. That's why I chose the photo of the pearls, okay? Chepe Genpu. Next verse. Dr. Ndrola Tukze Chir. Niki Zutu Tu Yin Ni. Jisi Chepa Dakina. Desi Chomden Shuksu Su. Shepe shuksu su. Se shuksu sul. Shuksu sul. This is a common part of the preliminaries. We do it every time I lead a meditation, mostly. Shuk means to sit or to stay. Sul means to request. Su means to. So what's it mean? Please stay in my life. Okay? Shuksu sul means please stay in my life. Don't disappear from my life. People disappear from your life, right? Parents die. Kids move away. Friends lose interest in you. You know, people leave your... People... You're alone. You enter this world alone. You make liaisons with people, and those liaisons are separated. And you walk the path for a while together of life, and then they leave you. And then you're alone again. So this verse is, please stick with me forever. Okay? So a lama, a real lama, has the power to stay with you beyond death. They will stay with you forever. So, but you have to ask. What's that thing? Ask and you shall receive. What's that thing about the door? Knock and... Yeah, anyway. You gotta express some kind of desire that it happens. And then, of course, they will agree. But if you never ask, they, you know. And there's a famous mistake, right? It's called the big mistake. What was the? Yeah, the Lord Buddha's disciple. When Lord Buddha was talking about impermanence, he didn't ask Lord Buddha to stay. And then Lord Buddha decided to pass from the world. Okay? So it's very important. Yeah, me too. Please stay. So it's important to ask, okay? So here we're asking. It's a verse for asking. So if you read the thing, you won't miss anything. That's another reason to read the meditation song. Okay. Doctor, Drola Tukse Chir, if you love me and you love other beings, Niki Tsutu Tuini, use your miraculous power. Two. We had it yesterday. Wang, Top, Tu. Yeah, mystic power. Use your mystic power. To what? Stick around. Okay, stay. Zutu, say Zutu. You can say Zutu, you can say Chotu. Say Chotu. Zutu. So tomorrow is one of the six or seven major Buddhist holidays of the year. It's like Christmas or Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day or, okay? And it's called Chotul Duchen. Chotul and Zutul are the same. It means miracle. And Chotul specifically means display of miraculous powers. And they used to have contests in ancient India, like, you know, I can make the sun blink out for 5 minutes. And the other guy's like, I can put all the stars in a bag and spread them on the table, you know. And like that, they would do stuff like that. So tomorrow is a special holiday when Lord Buddha got into a competition with some people. And of course he won. But it's called the Day of Miracles, Chochul Duchen. Say Chochul Duchen. Yeah, the Day of Miracles. So it's a big holiday tomorrow, and we'll be offering the meditation song in honor of Chochul Duchen. So it's cool that it came on this day. I believe it's the full moon tomorrow, the 15th of the lunar month. Okay, Chochul Duchen. Please use your miracle power. GC Chupadak. This is a weird line, so I never understood it. I'm going to ask you your opinion, okay? GC Daki. GC Chupadakina. For as long as I make offerings. Desi Chamna Chususo. I ask you to stay in my life. It just seems weird to me. It doesn't seem to, like it's a blackmail or something. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's it. For as long as I make offerings, I deserve to have you stay with me. Any other ideas? I don't know. It just feels weird to me. What, if you stop making offerings, they're going to divorce you or something? Huh? Oh, that's very nice. That's a nice thought. Yeah, there's a tradition in Buddhism that you cannot teach a person until they ask. So we can't be, what do you call it? We can't proselytize. We're not allowed to go door to door and bang on people's door, you know, get them to follow us. So she said, it's nice. It's if I make offerings, then I'm asking for teaching. Which is the next step, I think, pretty soon, it's has come. Adam? Yeah, good. Did you hear that? So, like, when you set out a banana on your altar, it's a statement that you think they can eat it even though you can't see them. Okay? It's a statement. It's weird, because if they don't exist, it's weird to put a banana on a table and leave it there all day and not eat it, you know? So if you do put a banana on a table all day, it must mean you, at least you think that maybe there are some invisible beings around who can eat it, right? Okay. Dennis? Say it again, I lost you.
That asking is the cause for the Lama to stay, but then the gifts are going to empower the Lama to help all beings.
Oh, okay. It could be. I don't know. Yeah. I see what you mean. The karma of giving a gift is gives them the power to help people. Yeah. It could be. I don't know. It always has bothered me these nights, you know. Yes, word. That's a good point. I mean, it does mean that until I become a Buddha. It does mean that. The wording means that. Until I become a Buddha, stay with me, I'll make offerings. But I think ahead to the day that I would like to be a Buddha, you know, and I imagine that I just become my Lama's buddy or something, and we hang out together. Like, and I would still make offerings to them. Just for old time's sake or something? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I like to think I would keep doing it, even after I'm a Buddha. I don't know. Rinpoche got very indignant one night at McDougal Street. He thought there briefly. And somebody said something like, oh, after you become a Buddha, you don't have to do this stuff. And he said, he got very, you know, offended and indignant. He said, what, you think they retire? And then he refused to say anything. He went home. And I don't know. Yeah. That's a good question. No. Stay in my life is a translation of, you know, of the Tibetan, which means I entreat you to remain. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay. It's a reminder of the karma necessary to make them stay. That's good. Yes.
Maybe if it's a way of reminding us what we're doing, and if you stop making offerings, it's because you got bored with the practice and you don't want to do it anymore. So it's like, it's a reminder to ourselves that we're practicing.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Oh, chew on it. This evening, if you have any more thoughts, let me know. Okay, let's do one more verse, and we'll stop for the afternoon. So we've reached the fifth step of the how many? Georgia. There are six preliminary practices, and the fifth one has seven parts. Okay, so what we normally do in before a meditation is the fifth part. Is the seven parts of the seven limb puja or a seven part prayer is the fifth of the six preliminary practices. Okay. So we've reached it. So these are the seven that you can do. You can go to verse 63 if you want to do the seven steps just before meditation, which we did this morning, for example. Okay. Did we? I think we did. Yeah. Okay. Although I combined two of them. Did you notice? I was wondering why I have to offer some successful practice twice. So I just skipped it and put them together. Okay. Ngapa sangchang in ne dupa yenla dumba mendel dong chepa buani. Ngapa means the fifth of the six preliminary practices. Sakchang. Say sakchang. Sak means sok. Collect good karma. Jang means purified bad karma, sakjang. Okay, sakjang. It's very famous. Just before you meditate, you should try to get a hit. What's that? Espresso? I was hanging out with Alejandro a lot in Guadalajara, and on the way, every time he went out of town, he stopped at this Starbucks drive-in, and he'd say, "I need an espresso." You know, I never had one. It's this little cup, right? And he stops, he gives the money, they hand out this little shot glass, paper shot, and he goes, go! And then he's like, okay, now I can go, you know? So you need a big hit of good karma just before you meditate, okay? Why just before? Because you'll get upset at somebody if you wait a half hour to meditate, and then you lose all that good seeds. So you gotta take your espresso and then right away you have to start meditating, okay? Collect some good karma right away. And then meditate, okay? So sakjang means just before you meditate, do a lot of good karma and then right away close your eyes and start meditating. Don't think about anybody. Okay, sakjang, then jang means clean your conscience, make your conscience clear. Because you can't get deep into a meditation if you don't have a clear conscience, okay? Sakjang. Espresso and clear your conscience. Okay? I like that. Sakchang. Ne dupa. Ne. We talked about it. Ne. Crucial point. Okay? Crucial point. I feel lazy to do the dictionary thing, but we just started it. Dictionary entry. Ne. Kao nada ne, G-N-A-D, not to be confused with G-N-A-S, which is extremely common, because it means ne, to stay, or to abide, or to dwell, ne, and you stretch it out, the sa drops out, and you stretch it out, ne, say ne, to stay. And it's high tone because there's a prefix letter on a nasal. Ne. Ne means to stay. This is not ne, this is ne. Okay? The da drops out, and in linguistic compensation, the whole vowel gets shortened. Ne. Ne. So ne is a very beautiful word. I looked it up in Sanskrit once. It means marma, marma. Marma is related to the word, to the root mur, which means to die. Okay? And then from that we get murder and mortuary and mortal. Okay? So marma means, it came from the idea that in a karate match or in a sword fight, there are special spots on the other person's body that if you hit them just right, they will die. Okay, like here. This is a popular one in Asia. The jugular right here. Right here. If you cut it, the person's dead. Nobody can save them. I had a friend at Vajrapani Institute. He fell off a roof and he hit a nail here. And his wife sat next to him while he died because there's nothing you can do. You can't stop the blood. And he just bled to death in front of her, you know. And that's a ne, okay? It means, what do you call it? Mortal point. You know, if you hit that point, you can't save the person. So, that's called ne, marma. Then, ne, what do you call it? Ne de numa in tantra, in secret practice, when you're working with the inner body. There are places in the inner body, chakras, channels, that if you put pressure on them, how? Mama chicken. Yeah, if you concentrate the mind at those points, neda numba means if you strike those special points in the body, you can see emptiness or something. Like you can do strange things if you get the prana to those points. And that's why we do yoga. That's the ultimate purpose of yoga. All yoga is meant, except Oriz, which is meant to torture you only. Sorry. All forms of yoga are meant to neda numa. They're meant to strike pranic kill points. And they trigger the direct perception of emptiness and like that. So that's why we do yoga every day, neda numa. Okay? So ne means a crucial point. In philosophy, it means a crucial idea. Essential idea is called ne also. Then there's a very common genre of literature called kane, which means difficult points. Kaneki Japa means a commentary on difficult points in some subject, okay, like emptiness or mind-only school. Then that genre of commentary will be called a kane, okay. So that's entry for the word ne, kawanada ne, which is shortened, linguistically shortened, ne. Say ne.
Ne.
Ne. Ne. Okay, good. And dictionary entries. They will stop in 1 minute, okay? So here, ne dupa. Okay, ne dupa means, it means, these are seven preliminaries include all the guts of spiritual practice. All the essential elements of spiritual practice are contained in the preliminaries we did this morning before meditation. Okay, those seven. Okay, ne dupa. What are we going to talk about? Yen Lak Dun, okay? Yen Lak Dun, people call it, what do you call it? Seven limb. So Yen Lak can mean limb. Start dictionary entry. Yen Lak, okay? It's an idiom, Yen Lak. It means a branch of anything. So a branch of a bank is called a Yen Lak, okay? A limb of the body is called a Yen Lak, like your arms, your legs, and your neck and head are called Yen Lak. So it can mean part. I'm sorry, it can mean limb. And limbs of a tree are also called Yen Lak, okay? But here, this is very famous, Yen Lak Dumba, say Yen Lak Dumba. The seven Yen Lak of the prayer. It doesn't really mean branches, okay? I mean, people translate it that way. Or seven limbs, or seven, it doesn't have any meaning here. It just means it has seven parts, okay? It's a seven-step practice that you always go through before you meditate. Is that true? Is there any exceptions? Yeah, the seventh one comes afterwards, okay? Good, Great. Okay, so that's a commentary on that's a dictionary entry on yen lock. Yana yen, la ka lock, yen lock. Okay. End dictionary entry. Mendel. Say Mendel. 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 Okay, mandala. It means the world. Okay. It means this offering of a perfect world. An offering of the world after everyone gets enlightened because of my hard work is what a mandala offering is. Okay, so if you can't remember all the continents and all the Tibetan words, don't stress. Just imagine the whole world is happy because you dragged around in DCI on all those plane rides, you know, and you offer that to your teacher. I offer the world in the future. I offer a world in which everyone gets the things they want by using the four steps. Okay. I offer you this world. Okay. So Mendel Dung Chepa, start dictionary entry. Sorry. I didn't write the book. Start dictionary entry. Dung Chepa. Say Dung Chepa. Dung Chepa. Dung Chepa is an idiom. If no one explains it to you, you'll never figure it out. Dung means and. Chepa means along with. Okay. Dung Chepa means along with, okay? Then we would say Aaron along with Ning, okay? But in Tibetan, you say the first person, then you say the second person, then you say along with. So you'd say Aaron, Nick, along with. And so you don't put the conjunction in between the two items, you put it after the second one, okay? So here we had Yenlak Dumba, which means the seven-step practice. Mendel Dung Chepa. Along with a mandala offering. So this is traditional. They're always lumped together, okay? It's very common to see Sangye Changsem Dung Chepa, which means what? Sangye Changju Semba Dung Chepa. Buddha's along with Bodhisattvas, you see? Buddha's Bodhisattvas along with, okay? And Dung Chepa. Don't end. Unfortunately, the word dung means and, so people commonly say and then they try to look up chepa in the dictionary and they don't find anything, okay? So be careful. Dung chepa is one three-syllable unit idiom, okay? And dictionary entry. Bulwa means make that offering. Seven-part, it's actually an offering, okay? I'm sorry. Yeah, along with a mandala. And that's the traditional warm-up for meditation. And in Buddhism, we believe that trying to do a meditation without warming up is like trying to run a 100-meter race on a cold day without stretching before. And it won't work. It won't happen. Like, try to do yoga on a cold day. Try to go straight into, Surya Namaskars. You'll hurt something. You'll hurt your shoulder or something will happen. You have to warm up first. So to run a race well, in your mind, a meditation, you have to do the warm-up. The warm-up is the seven-part prayer, along with a mandala offering. Got it? By the way, I like mandala because the word mundo comes from that. The world, and mundane, worldly. So the root, M-U-N-D, has connotations of the world. Okay. All right then. We will continue tonight with verse 64. Bonnie, will you give us a nice mandala of Dung Chepa?
Ninde gembadi sangye shindu mingte uvayi doku namda shina chepashu idam guru radhamada kanayadayami di Sanam yeshe so
Thank you. It's a beautiful thing. Like, try to do it once a week, like Saturday or something, when you have the day off. Even the mayor of Colorado Springs gives people days off, I think. So. He won't call you. Just turn off your phone.